On the flight deck, listeners are manning up for the podcast launch. It's time for all unnecessary shows to clear the airwaves.
You're listening to The Hangar Bay, a podcast dedicated to the latest military flight simulation and hardware news. From developers to the community and everything in between, The Hangar Bay will get you squared away.
Welcome down to The Hangar Bay, your source for the latest news that every military flight simulation pilot can use. Today is Sunday, May 5th, 2024. I'm your host, Umanji, and thank you for joining me for another episode of The Hangar Bay. I hope each and every one of you had a wonderful week in the virtual skies. If you're new to this show or a regular listener, this is just your reminder that before we get started, you can always follow along with this week's show notes on thehangarbaypod.com or watch me scroll through them in the video version of this show, which is hosted on YouTube or on Spotify. With that out of the way, let's get things started like we do each and every week with the flyby. The flyby is where we aim to cover the highlights from this week's news in 60 seconds or less. Starting things off this week, we have the COLA map, created by Orbix, which went into early access for DCS on Friday, debuting at $56 US and weighing a whopping 150 gigabytes. So I'm praying for all your hard drives out there. So the first impressions from the community are flying in left and right, and we've collected several to share with you on today's show. In COLA-related news, campaign creators Baltic Dragon and Reflected Simulations provided updates on the status of their campaigns, with the current release window looking like late summer 2024 for each of those titles. And then finally, also on the DCS front this week, Tobson and 8Ball released a free mod for the OH-6A. That's fantastic news for all the Hilo Bubbas out there, and I think I saw someone comment on this wondering if this will be the helicopter community's version of the A4 mod, which I hope so. Anyway, that's the bigger stories for this week. I hope you'll stick around for the full show, where we'll cover these stories in more detail, as well as the rest of this week's news. On that note, let's dig in and get things started with the developers.
Hey everyone, Wags here.
In the developer news segment, we bring you the latest happenings from game developers and related third parties. Kicking things off this week, we have the IL-2 Great Battles May Sale, which is now live on the official web store or on Steam, in honor of the 79th anniversary of the Victory of Europe Day, which was May 8th, 1945. So in honor of that, the 79th anniversary, the discounts are up to 79% off. One of the notable discounts I saw there was the Battle of Normandy title is now down to $30 US. That said, the sale applies to all Great Battles titles, campaigns, and collector vehicles or planes. So if you're new to the series, looking to get started, this is a great jumping off point. Or if you're someone who's dabbled in the series before, you're a veteran of it, maybe there's something out there for you to pick up. I was reviewing it today, looking for some additions. I saw some of the campaigns were up to 75% off in some cases. So lots of great sales or things to get your hand on there. So again, that's on Steam or on the official web store, which is il2sturmovik.com. All right. Now, I'm kind of burying the lead, so let's shift things over to the DCS front, and let's talk about the COLA map. That's right, it's finally here. After much anticipation and hype, including some on my part as well, I'll fully admit to that, the COLA map is now live. It released into early access right before the start of the weekend. As I mentioned in the flyby, the initial price is $56 US, so it's 20% off the retail price of $70 US. So that clocks in at the same price as the South Atlantic map. The map is available for purchase as usual on Steam or on the official DCS store. You can also purchase it directly from Orbix if you wish, which is on orbixdirect.com. So if you haven't heard of the podcast before where we've talked about it, or you're new to catching up on this piece of information, some details about the map. As I mentioned, it's hefty. Yes, right. It's clocking in at 150 gigabytes, which makes it, I think, by far and away the largest map in the DCS series so far. The map represents the region in its current day state. So this is not a historical setting for northern Scandinavia. We're getting it what it's like in its current day shape and form. As it's released right now, this was a little bit of a disappointing news to me, but in the current feature, it's only summer ground textures. Winter are going to follow later on in early access. So right now we're only getting the summer version of the map. And the high detail area, as we talked about last week, is currently focused on the Finland-Russia border. So got some great screenshots of that here in the show notes if you're curious as to where they declare the high detail region to be. So if you were looking to fly out of Norway and Sweden, you still can. There are some airfields over in those areas. They're just not going to be fully detailed. That said, they do have two road runways implemented at the current time. Both are in Finland. As I mentioned in the flyby, got lots of community impressions coming in. Wherever you turn, I guess, every content creator looks like they're putting out something about the map, as the community is pretty excited about it. But before I get to that, I did want to mention real quick, if you are interested in providing feedback about the map, you've already purchased it, you want to share some tidbits with the developers about what you'd like to see worked on, the feedback is going to be in a semi-untraditional manner. Normally, you just go to the DCS forums. That's where developers are in contact with the DCS community. It doesn't appear Orbex is going to be monitoring the DCS forum, so if you want to get in touch with them, you should go to cola.orbexdirect.com. I went over there earlier this evening. They have like a little survey set up over there where you can start upvoting other people's comments or create a comment of your own about what you'd like to see improved from a bug standpoint, corrected, or a new feature you'd like to see added. You can also go to the Orbex Discord. I hopped in there earlier today. Now, granted, it's the weekend. I haven't seen a lot of developer activity, so that'll be one to watch for. Hopefully, they'll start reaching out to the community more now that the map is live. Some people also noted that when they purchased the map, they weren't seeing it in-game when they went to install. There was a minor patch this week that went live alongside the release of the map, so make sure you update your game when you go to launch it this week. The patch did include a few bug fixes and some updates to campaigns, which we'll talk about later, but just wanted to put that out as well. That said, that's all the administrative stuff. Let's get into the juicy tidbits about what does the community think. So I included some links to some interesting videos that I thought caught my eye and an article as well. The first up was Enigma. So we've talked about Enigma a lot. He's one of my go-tos for some DCS content. I thought his first impressions were really interesting because he kind of approached it from the Mission Maker multiplayer standpoint. So one of the first things he highlighted wasn't really the textures or the look of the map itself, but was focused on the fact that the existing airfields that are in-game, I think there's roughly 9 of them, are all really far apart. So we're looking at about 300 kilometers apart between each of these bases, which is a huge problem for mission makers. As he said, the general flow of the multiplayer server that he operates is they're looking to get most players within 12 minutes of flight time from a target area. So right now, that's really pushing it. It's well beyond what that limit would normally be. So that was an interesting tidbit. So if you're looking to make missions or you're looking to engage in some of that stuff, be advised that some of these air bases are really far apart. And that, I mean, I shouldn't be a surprise. It's a very large map. But as someone who hadn't actually plotted that stuff before, it was really interesting to see him highlight that. He also goes on to say that graphics and textures are decent. His performance was generally solid for him, although he does highlight an issue that I've long found an issue with in DCS, which is the forests could be a huge problem. You know, we definitely wanted to have a green map, so that's great to see. But all of these trees are likely going to be an issue for those of us who are, you know, if tanks are driving underneath the trees or vehicles and you're trying to target them. The trees have long been a damage sponge in DCS, right? They just soak up all the damage and prevent you from targeting any of the ground vehicles. So hopefully that's something that DCS is working with Orbex on in the near future. It's a fix I was actually hoping would go live with this map. Maybe that was way too optimistic of me, but I think it's going to be something DCS or Eagle Dynamics is going to have to work on if they do have intentions of a Vietnam map or a Korea map, which they've hinted at before. So hopefully that won't be too far away. Either way, Enigma's got a great video here. I encourage you to take a look at it. The title of it is The End of the Sims Sand Age or Diet Cola, hence the title for this episode. I thought that was great, Diet Cola. So I also included a video from Command T. He's got a first look at it, and he thinks it's a mixed bag of sorts. And I have not purchased the map, which I know is crazy considering how much I was hyped up for it. But this is a situation where I was like, you know what? I think I'll actually wait and see what the initial responses were being. So far, I think I've been rewarded for that. I've been a little, I don't want to say disappointed, but maybe that's about right. Like and I think that's something that gets touched on in this video with Command T. He mentions overall he's very happy with the map in terms of he sees a lot of potential for it and he's glad he bought it. But the first comment of the video really stood out to me. One of the users said, I understand this map is still in early access, but it's a little perplexing why they put so much of their initial effort into the cities and ports instead of the airfields. And, you know, when I've been watching videos of it, that's something that's really stood out to me. The cities look great. Some of the ports look fantastic. Lots of attention to detail. And then I see some videos of the airfields, and they just look really boring, really bland, and I know it's early access and it's just the first phase, but I think this is one where I'm going to let it cook for a little while and I'm going to jump in once I see some progress getting made. I have no reason to doubt Orbix's track record. They seem to have a very good track record with Microsoft Flight Simulator, but I kind of want to see that happen before I take the plunge. There's enough other stuff happening in the next few months with Afghanistan, with the CH-47, with the OH-58, lots of places to spend money on right now, and I don't really think I want to jump into something that isn't a little bit more baked. So anyway, that's Command T's video. I encourage you to check out that as well. And then finally, the other impression I wanted to share with you guys was from a good friend Shamrock over at Stormbird's blog. He always does really well-measured takes, and this is no exception. He's got some great screenshots that really show off some of the differences some of the interesting aspects of this map in terms of where that level of fidelity really drops off, including one screenshot in particular that shows you the exact line where that high fidelity area ends and the low fidelity area starts. And the cutoff is really pretty jarring. He also has a picture of one of the airfields that I'm talking about in terms of how kind of bland and empty it is. And he mentions that. He goes, and his direct quote is, "In contrast, the airport buildings and some of the the scenery scattered around them are quite good looking, but Orbix teams have made some great airport scenery packages in the past for Microsoft Flight Simulator, so the parts that are not great are surprising." So I guess what he's trying to say is, you know, they've done some great work with their scenery packs in the past, so it's a little surprising that we didn't see that work start here, right? I would have thought the airfields would have been the most promising. So I'm sure Orbix will get, I hope that they'll get that squared away in the future, but it's just a little disappointing to see that not be strong out the gate. That said, he's another one who does give props to the map's overall performance. He said he does have a little bit of an FPS set over some of the city scenes, and that'll likely get optimized. But overall, he's had high frame rates, a smooth performance. So looks good over there. And he also included a video as well in addition to his write-up. So it's good to see him back on YouTube. You can find his channel, youtube.com/@stormbirds, where he gives you a beautiful fly-through of the area in addition to the write-up as well. So overall, you know, it's hard for me to give more of a detailed impression since I didn't pick it up yet. That's why I have a lot of these community impressions to share with you. But I got to admit, maybe I set the bar too high for what I was hoping to see right out of the gate. Some of the screenshots we'd seen teased, you know, a year ago, 6 months ago, really made me think this map was going to set the bar in terms of graphical fidelity. And at least from what we've seen so far, I don't think that's the case. Now, there's still a long way to go. They can get there, and I really hope they do, because this is a map I really want to shine to be the go-to map, but I don't think it's there right now. It needs to spend a little more time baking in the oven, and then maybe we'll hop in. And then when we talk about the next piece of news, that might be what gets me jump-started. So let's go ahead and shift over to that, which is the update on the COLA campaigns from Baltic Dragon and Reflected Simulations. So both of these content creators are creating campaigns for the COLA map. I believe Baltics is going to be focused on the F-18 and Reflected is going to be on the F-16. At least I think I have that right in my head. Maybe the other way around. But anyway, Baltic Dragon tweeted that you better start practicing your landing on the roads because you'll be doing that a lot in the Arctic Thunder campaign, which he says is coming in late summer. And then over on his YouTube page, Reflected commented that the missions are almost finished. We're just aligning our respective missions. He's just aligning his respective missions with Baltic Dragon so the events and the comms match. Then we can send the script to the voice actors. He stated that his campaign will be released when the winter textures are added to the map. So if that coincides with what Baltic said, it looks like we could be getting these campaigns and the winter textures as well later this summer. So that sounds promising, and that might be a really good time to jump in. But let me know what you think. Are you someone who picked up the map? I'd love to hear what you think. So leave me a comment on the YouTube page. Send me an email. Let me know if you think it's worth jumping in now or if you think I made the right decision and should hold off for a little while longer. That said, also on the DCS front with Reflected Simulation, in this latest patch, he added interactive checklists to his campaign. So shout out to Reflected for continuing to always push the envelope with what he's capable of in his campaigns. So if you own any of his F-14 campaigns, or this will also be featured in his upcoming F4 campaign. This is where you're going to see these interactive checklists come to play. So he put together a great little YouTube page where he actually YouTube video where he talks about what this entails. But the general gist of it is that he realized that hitting the space bar to progress to the checklist in his missions wasn't really ideal. So the new approach is the replies will come in automatically if a given switch is in the correct position. So if your Rio is reading off a checklist, he says, flip this switch to the on position, for example. If it's already in the on position, the game is automatically going to reply for you. So it just behooves you, if you do the checklist in the correct order, you're already going to be good to go, and you don't even have to worry about hitting the space bar. But as Reflected rightly points out, you better know your checklist. So if you need some, go check out that DCS user file page. Go find yourself a nice checklist that'll get you squared away. And then he also says that it took over 1,000 trigger lines across these 40 missions. So credit again, once again, to Reflected. That's a ton of work, but he really pushes his campaign to the next level, and they're well worth picking up if you haven't done so, and keep an eye on that F14 campaign that'll be coming out hopefully soon as we see Heapler release that module here within the next month. All right, that wraps things up on the developer note and the news. It was definitely heavy on the DCS side, so let's get things switched over to the hardware side now.
Flight controls.
If you can move it, toggle it, push it, or rotate it, hardware news is where we're going to talk about it. And starting things off this week, we have an Orion rudder pedal review by Redkite for the Windwing Orion rudder pedal. So I don't necessarily feature hardware reviews all the time, but this one really stood out to me. I really always enjoyed Redkite's content. I thought this video was a nice summation. If you're interested in picking up rudder pedals, but maybe you're on the fence about which ones you want, I thought this video from Redkite does a great job of summarizing what you might get with the Windwing set. So overall, Windwing said it was a huge upgrade for him, who made the jump from his older CH pedals. But he did have some interesting notes. He said on one note of caution is that the springs are very strong and require a lot of force, leading to slipping on his carpeted floors. So he had to eventually put it up against a piece of wood or I think up against his wall to prevent them from shifting. He did say this wasn't as big an issue if you have hardwood or vinyl floors, or obviously if you can mount them to your sim pit. So if you're someone who has carpet, that's one thing to keep an eye on. He did say that if you reduce the travel distance of the pedals themselves, that helps to some degree. He also said one big feature that he really liked was the ability to easily switch between springless. So if you want to use them for helicopter mode, or between driving mode or fixed wing mode, it's all done in like 5 seconds or less. You just boom, pop a spring out, you're good to go. It's really easy to pop the spring back in, really easy to play with the damper. Anyway, he goes through some great details about what this hardware looks like and shows it in operation. So go check him out. It's youtube.com/redkiterender. He does great stuff for DCS as well as on the hardware side. So it's well worth a watch if you're interested in those pedals. And then also on the hardware front, this news is likely getting to you far too late, so I apologize to you. But just because I want to give a shout out to Verbal for doing some fun stuff. Verbal had a VPC Constellation Alpha sale this weekend. It was 15% off. I think they were getting in on the Star Wars fun. They had Rise of the Alpha. So both the left or right Constellation Alpha Prime grips were on sale for 15% off. So just a shout out to Verpal for having a nice holiday sale. That sale ended May 5th, 23:59 UTC. So I think we're well past that. But anyway, shout out to you, Verpal, for getting that done. Hopefully we see more fun sales like that in the future. Okay, so that's all we had for hardware news. Let's transition to the portion of the show where we highlight the work of people just like you, the community. So the community news is where we cover the latest goings on of the community, from campaigns and mods to servers, software, and everything in between. Kicking things off this week, we have Isle 2 Cliffs of Dover manuals and guides. So the user Alive Effort 6365 over on Reddit had a really great post that caught my eye. He said, I recently purchased the Isle 2 Cliffs of Dover series in anticipation of the upcoming Blitz DLC. Great choice, because I too am excited about that DLC. He said, after jumping in, I discovered that the barrier to entry was a bit higher than I expected. Lots of keybinds and aircraft-specific nuances to learn. And then he posed the question, I should say they posed the question, does anyone have any info that might be helpful regarding procedures or charts for the different planes the game offers? I tried checking the game manual but couldn't find anything. Maybe I'm missing or it was overlooked or I just looked in the wrong spot. So I provided the link to this post on the IL-2 Sturmovik Reddit. And there were some really good answers, and I want to share two of them that really stood out to me about being useful to you if you're looking to get into IL-2 Cliffs of Dover. The first is the Air Tactical Assault Group Wiki, which I have in the show notes here. That's just theairtacticalassaultgroup.com/wiki. They have flight manuals for all the Royal Air Force aircraft, so the RAF. So approximately 8 aircraft spanning the Spitfire, the Hurricane, the Bowfighter, the Blenheim Mark IV. Anyway, lots of great manuals for the RAF aircraft. And then there's our good friend Chuck. That's right. So Chuck always gets credit for the DCS side of the house, but he also has IL-2 manuals as well. So for Cliffs of Dover, he's got manuals for the Allied aircraft. So he's got the Spitfire and Hurricane as well as the Blenheim and the Tiger Moth too. He's got Axis aircraft. So the Messerschmitt BF-109, the 110, the Junkers JU-87 Stuka, the JU-88, the Heinkel HE-111. So, and then he also has guides for the IL-2 Great Battle series as well. So he's got multiple guides for the Soviet aircraft and some of the Axis aircraft in that series as well. So double dipping here. Not only does he have you covered on Cliffs of Dover, but he's got you on IL-2 as well. So anyway, I thought those were really cool resources to share for new or returning members of the IL-2 community, especially in light of that sale we mentioned in the flyby. If you got any cool guides you think would be worth sharing with the community, let me know. I'd love to feature them in a future episode, and then I'll share them in the blog notes for the other listeners out there as well. So again, that's great information if you're getting back into IL-2 Cliffs of Dover. Jumping over to the BMS side of the house, that's right, we're going to get our weekly dose of BMS content. And who else is that coming from? That's right, our old friend Aviation Plus. He's back with a really great video this week on how to use the data cartridge, or the DTC. He states, or I should say, he says, understand the DTC in this Falcon BMS tutorial. It's a vital tool to use when maintaining your SA during flight. Learn in the video how to use your data cartridge effectively. So in the video, he's going to go over things such as threat circles, how to make steer lines, how to make target assignments, and most importantly, he covers the infamous click dance that you'll need for every mission. So there's no greater, in my opinion, resource for BMS coverage than Aviation Plus. He's got so many great tutorials, and this is definitely another one worth your time to check out. So hop on over to his YouTube page, which is at Aviation Plus. Again, that's covering the DTC or data cartridge for Falcon BMS. Okay, shifting things back to the DCS side of the house, let's touch on something we covered in the flyby, and that's the OH-6A mod by Tobson and 8Ball. So this mod, at least, was not on my radar at all. It came out of nowhere for me, and what a doozy it is. So they released this mod, I believe, on Friday, maybe a little bit earlier. Well, either way, they've already bumped it up to version 1.1, which they released on Sunday morning. I've got the link to the GitHub page there. It's going to be 3 separate downloads over on the GitHub page. It's going to be the aircraft itself, the liveries, if you want to pick up some extra skins, and then the coolest aspect, I think, will be of interest to a lot of people, even if you don't want to fly this, they also have a Vietnam assets package. That's right, lots of cool stuff that you can add to DCS to increase your immersion if you're looking to fly any Vietnam-related missions. That alone is a huge win on top of the aircraft itself. That said, we're big Hilo Bubba fans around here, so we want to talk about this aircraft. So I want to share a little bit of details about it. So in the general overview of the mod, one of the things I want to note on the GitHub page, they do state up front, please keep in mind that this is a community mod done by a small team in their spare time. So this mod is not subject to ED's quality controls. There are some things which might not be perfect and some things which will be addressed in future updates. So that said, the initial feedback I've seen from far on this aircraft is that it is really, really cool. A lot of fun to fly. That said, if you do hop into it and you have some suggestions, they said they'd love to hear from you over on their Discord server. I got a link to that in the show notes. They do highlight some known issues, which may be fixed in the future. For example, they are missing a co-pilot model. They're missing a model for one of the minigun door gunners. The mod is not designed to be used by AI. It might show faulty behavior. So if you're dropping it into missions, no idea how well the AI would actually fly it on its own. And they said there's no target prioritization for the door gunner. So I leave that That leads me to believe the door gunner is just going to shoot at whatever it wants to. So that's, well, I guess that could be kind of fun depending on how you look at it. That said, they did say there are some modding limitations that prevent, that create some known issues. There are some limited radio functionalities. I mentioned the ROE for the door gunner. And one thing I did want to shout out, the aircraft does need to be shut down to be able to rearm, refuel, and repair. So that's just a public service announcement. That said, let's talk about some of the cool features it has. So right off the top, it does have some training missions available for you. So when you jump in, there is something to get you up and running when you get started. The thing I probably love most about this aircraft is that it has no stability aid. That's right. This is a true Hilo Bubba lover's dream right here. OK, we're all analog, baby. So get all your fancy digital gauges out of here. I don't need any of your flat panel displays. We're talking steam gauges. We don't have any SAS. We don't have any autopilot. It's going to be if you do any inputs, you're going to need to counteract that with another input. So it kind of reminds me of when I got started in flight school. It takes a while to get started, but once you get rolling, you're going to have a great time with it. Some of the other fun features of this aircraft are that it has grenades. They highlight the most important task of the OH-6A is to mark targets with smoke grenades. So you will have those in the cockpit, or I should say to deploy. There will be a minigun. As I mentioned, the M27 armament subsystem is used on the left side of the aircraft. It consists of a 7.62mm M134 machine gun and a reflex sight. It does have rockets, but they go on to note it. These rockets are rarely used as they are quite heavy for the aircraft. And then I mentioned the door gunner as well. The OH-6A can be equipped with an AI M60 door gunner on the right side. So I got some cool screenshots of the asset as well. And then I linked to a great video of the first flight of the aircraft. So you can see what it looks like in game as well. Wonderful little YouTube video of this. So kudos to the developers. I love to see stuff like this, and especially when it's just a small development team putting so much love and effort, that's really, really cool to see. So give it a shot if you're interested in helicopters, and if not, why not pick up the asset pack and give yourself something else to enjoy if you're into making your own missions or sharing those with the community as well. So, all right. Also on the DCS front, sticking with the Vietnam era time frame, I want to include this awesome refresher course for the A4E. So Sport DCS posted it on his YouTube page as well as on the Hoggett subreddit. If you haven't flown the A4 in a while, well, he's got you covered with a refresher training mission for you A4 pilots out there, where you attempt to strike on a well-defended industrial target. So he did include this mission on the DCS user file page. He states that to go along with the mission, he also created a video which serves as its own refresher. So that's on his YouTube page, which is over at @sportdcs. He includes a briefing for the mission and goes over how to start, taxi, navigate, and employ some basic weapons in the A4. So to get you rolling and get you back in the aircraft. He also notes that this is a great practice for the F4 because, quote, fun fact, the bombing computer and nav computer in the F4 are nearly identical, so this is a good way to get ahead of those learning curves. So if you're interested in some of the content Sport makes, I've got a link to his Discord server, and he included a custom skin for the A4 as well on the DCS user file page. So go ahead and give him a shout out on his YouTube page. Again, that's @sportdcs. Give him a like and a follow over there. He puts out some great content, and I love to see content specifically for the DCS A4E. Always fun to see people giving back to the mods in the community scene as well. Okay, continuing on the DCS front, this is something I found really useful since SAMs are always kicking my butt. There's a SAM, so surface-to-air missile detection, recognition, and evasion tutorial by Shasta. So Shasta is developing a series of tutorials getting you up to speed on how you can recognize and defeat surface-to-air threats in DCS. So each of these videos are roughly 10 to 20 minutes in length. The first half of the video is kind of like a classroom style where he walks you through the capabilities of the individual SAM itself, what you'll see on the RWR, and then the steps you should take to evade the threat. Then he shifts over to in-game and kind of shows you how it's done. So I think it's a really great setup for a tutorial in DCS. He's already got two so far. It looks like he's doing these kind of on a threat-by-threat basis. So the first one up was the SA-2, and then the second one he's got is for the SA-15 gauntlet. So I hope we continue to see him deliver these videos into the future. He's already got a great start, and I think this is going to be something that's really useful to a lot of players out there. So again, his YouTube page is at Shasta Simulations 9767. So that's S-H-A-S-T-A. Simulations 9767. So kudos to you, Shasta. Thank you so much for sharing those with the community. All right, and that wraps up things on the community news. Let's shift things over to the user content portion of the show.
They just blew themselves up.
And by user content, I mean user content of the week. Sometimes it's a mission, sometimes it's a tutorial, and sometimes it's just an interesting topic of conversation here in the content of the week. And man, oh man, if this isn't the public service announcements, the end-all public service announcements for DCS, or at least it is for someone like me, I thought this was really great. You can navigate the radio menu by using keys and HOTAS bindings in DCS. What do I mean by that? Well, user Nero27 on Hoggett brought us this awesome piece of news this week. He stated, and I don't know how this slipped right by me, a few patches ago, Eagle Dynamics added the option to navigate the radio menu. And by that, I'm talking about the F10 menu, right? So you can navigate through that radio menu using in-game bindings. So you can use the command menu where you select, so you can go into your control bindings in-game, and you can bind a four-way hat on your HOTAS, and you can actually use that to navigate the radio menu. So for example, you got a four-way hat, right? So press down on the hat, boom, that'll bring up the F10 menu. And then you can literally use up, down to navigate right up and down that menu. So no more F1 through F12 keys. You can just use the hat switch to do it all for you. And the cool thing about this is you can actually bind it to a hat switch that's already bound to something else. So say, for example, you fly the F-18. You have your sensor select switch bound to a four-way hat on your stick, for example. Well, boom, you can now bind the menu navigation, and it's going to take priority over any cockpit bind. So when the menu's closed, you're going to, you know, you're not using the F10 menu. Your sensor select switch will operate as normal. When you open it, that sensor select switch is now going to be used for it'll now be prioritized to do the radio menu itself. So you can scroll up and down, and it won't affect anything on the sensor select switch. You only kind of go back to the sensor select switch once you close the radio menu itself. So hopefully that makes sense. You can essentially double bind any control, and when the radio menu is open, that takes precedence. When you close the menu, it goes back to what it was. So this removes the need for you to take your hands off your flight controls, like when you need to do things like select ready pre-contact, right, the tanker. I mean, granted, you can use voice attack and VICOM, all those things, but man, this is a game changer for those of you who are like me and had dedicated buttons on your stream deck for the F1, F10 menu, things of that nature. This all becomes way easier. Now you can just use a hat switch right on your throttle or stick. So give that a shout. Go check out the command menu, the control bindings in DCS. If you have any trouble locating that, I've included a link to the Reddit post as well. That's again, Nero27. Shout out to him. He also included a great screenshot of what you're looking for in the control menus. You should just search for the term command menu, and that'll take you right to what you're looking for. So, man, that was an awesome piece of news. But that said, in celebration of the COLA map this week, I couldn't let you go without a little piece of content about the COLA map as well. So if you're looking to get started on the map and you feel like there's not a lot to do yet, two users have already hooked you guys up with some content on the DCS user files page. And the first one is near and dear to my heart because it's a little bit of nostalgia coming right at you. So the user Venga, I believe it was. Is that how you say his name here? I can't even see my own writing now at this point in my show notes. But the user here created Veng. Excuse me, there it is. V-E-N-G. The user Veng over on the DCS user file page created the first look mission for the F-18C on the COLA map, which is a recreation of the Jane's F-18 first look mission. So it's placed in approximately the same location with the same MiG-29 and factory that you need to go take out. He's already got you set up with two Sidewinders, two AMRAMs, a centerline fuel tank, and four Mark 84 2,000-pound bombs. So boom, you shoot down a drone, go bomb a factory complex, and then just go enjoy flying around the map. So a nice little first map to get you started with something to do on the COLA map. And then the second one I found for you, which you guys know I love sandbox maps, right? So that's what I was looking for, and we kind of found one. So user Mr. Tsukibi created a sandbox mission, which is set in the 1980s. Now, this one doesn't have any combat. This is just a way to kind of get started and get airborne quickly. His direct quote says, you want to get out and see the COLA map without putting much effort in? Well, here you go. This is the sandbox mission with no genuine target set, no combat envision. It does, however, get you started with what he normally does or what they normally do with their generic missions. So you got a bunch of aircraft, F-14s, F-18s, Harriers, Viggens, Hueys, F-1s, Big 19s. He tried to make a Cold War setting. He got those. He's already got those stationed at the air bases ready to go for you. They got the CSAR and the CTLD mods already installed and ready to go. And he also put down a carrier group, including a U.S. carrier and the HMS Invincible. So if you just wanted to have the map populated with some stuff so that you don't have to go set up an instant action mission, well, Mr. Tsukibi's got you covered. So I got links to both these missions on the show notes. Go check it out or just pop on over to the DCS user file page. And I imagine you should keep your eyes glued to that site over the next few days and weeks ahead. We'll have a lot more content going forward on that front, I'm sure. The community always does a great job delivering. So that's the user content a week, a little bit more than usual. But I had those two cool things to share with you, content for COLA and then the key binding. So wanted to get that out the door for you this week. All right, let's go ahead and shift things over to the final major segment, which is the Sim Pit Spotlight.
You don't see any big stream and flames or smoke coming out, do you?
Sim Pit Spotlight. It is the time for my favorite segment of the show where we highlight a community member's personal Sim Pit setup, no matter how simple or complex, to celebrate the joy of flying from home. And this week, we have user Main2000 on the HOTAS Reddit with his first setup. He goes, this is my first Sim Pit setup. And I got to say, if this is your first Sim Pit setup, you're not doing too bad for yourself. So a wonderful picture of what we're looking at here from Main2000. He's got an awesome little cockpit going. He says, I got bit by the bug. Now I have a new hobby. And then the highlighted portion of his comment that I loved, he goes, when will this end? I think I spend more time building and tweaking vice flying, to which I say, welcome to the club, sir. So the rig here that he's got for you, the frame is a GT Omega Prime rig with some Monster Tech equipment mixed in. And then I have the same seat, the Open Wheeler SimFab chair. So it's a great chair. I highly recommend that. SimFab makes great products. So they've got it mounted to their GT Omega setup with MFDs, Thrustmaster Cougars on Cube Sim displays, and they're using the Stream Deck XL as their UFC, which I do as well. Highly recommend that setup. Also, other hardware they have, looks like they got a Verpal CM3 throttle, a Verpal Warbird with the Alpha Constellation grip, the Verpal control panel on the left, and then the Thrustmaster TPR pedals rounding out the cockpit. So overall, really, really good setup. Looks nice and clean and just a wonderful place to enjoy flying. So Main2000, thank you so much for sharing your setup with us. Hope it gives some inspiration to other community members out there. Otherwise, I hope you enjoy flying in that each and every week. I can't imagine that you don't. All right, let's shift things over to the listener feedback portion of the show as well now.
612, departure radio check.
So if there's any news, community content, or a Sim Pit setup that you would like to see covered, you can always get in touch with the show via email, feedback@thehangarbaypod.com. or via social media at the Hangar Bay Pod on Twitter or on Instagram. I'm always looking for feedback from you guys on what we could share in the next week's version of the show. I know I don't cover everything. I'm sure there's lots of things I miss. So if there's something you'd like to see me highlight on DCS, IL-2, BMS, or another game maybe I'm not even giving enough coverage to, please get in touch. Let me know. This show is all about highlighting the great things that are going on in the community, especially amongst community members. And that's what I love to do. That said, one final piece of news I do want to share with you. The Hangar Bay is going on vacation. That's right. I'll be on vacation for a few weeks starting next week. I'm going to try to take the show on the road. We'll see how that goes. I make no promises. So I'll be gone for a few weeks, but I will try at the bare minimum to get at least one show out. I want to keep the streak alive. So far, we've been doing this show for 15 straight weeks, which I got to be honest, I didn't know if we'd make it this far. So I've really appreciated all the wonderful feedback I've gotten from so many of you. So, and we're going to keep going. Here's to another 15 more. Hopefully, though, that means we will have a show each of the next few weekends. So stay tuned. I will let you know on the social media pages on YouTube if there's going to be an interruption. But like I said, I'm going to take the equipment with me and hopefully we'll keep the show rolling in the weeks ahead. That said, that concludes another episode of the Hangar Bay. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. We'll hopefully be back next weekend, if not sometime thereafter, as we always do around here, to get you squared away with the latest military flight simulation and hardware news. But until we speak again, think about what you put out into the community and make it a better place. Fly safe, everyone.
Right here. Let's go down. unroll out of decks. Unroll 500 knots. Let's get out of here.
The missile knows where it is at all times. Oh, I'm sorry. What I meant to say is that you can find the video show on YouTube or on Spotify at the Hangar Bay Pod. The audio show is available on all major podcast providers. You can contact the show via email, feedback@thehangarbaypod.com, or on Instagram and Twitter at the Hangar Bay Pod. Show notes and links to everything discussed on this week's show are available at thehangarbaypod.com.
It takes a lot more than just fancy flying.